I want to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. Everyone knows that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is very much de-emphasized in the Mishnah. The Mishnah itself only mentions the Yom Tov of Hanukkah in a very, very side matter. The Gemara Mishnah Bava Kama talks about a gomel that's walking in the walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and there are long strands of flax on the back of the gomel. And the flax gets ignited by a nair that the chenveni keeps outside of the store, and then a house is on fire. So the Mishnah discusses who is chayev. Is it the owner of the gomel because of shor, that's mamon hamazik, or is it the owner of the eish? And Rav Yehuda says that if it was a nair Chanukah, the chenveni is supposed to keep it outside, so therefore the chiyuv is on the gomel. So the whole din of Chanukah in the Mishnah is a peripheral halacha in the dinim of Nezikin. In other words, there's no discussion of it. Purim, which is a drabanan, has a whole Maseches Megillah. Chanukah is very much de-emphasized, and there are a lot of reasons that are given. The Chassam Sofer says there's a remez here that the Ramban writes in Parshas Vayechi that although the Chashmonaim were tzaddikei elyon, and they created a victory for Am Yisrael. They rededicated the Mikdash. But there was an Aveira that the Chashmonaim assumed monarchy, because Kohanim should not be a Melech, because Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yosher Shevet Mi Yehuda, that Malchus only belongs to the tribe of Yehuda. And Mimela, the whole Malchus Chashmonaim was be Aveira. And because of this, the Chashmonaim were eventually destroyed. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, anyone that says, I am from the Chashmonaim, we assume he's from an Eved, because the only survivor were the Avadim of the Chashmonaim. In fact, Hordas, Herod, was in fact an Eved of the Chashmonaim, and he eventually became a king that the Romans appointed. So the Chassam Sofer just adds this little kinach that Rav Yehuda HaNasi, who wrote the Mishnah, who compiled the Mishnah, was himself a descendant of Malchus Beis David. So Memela, he did not want to give kavod to the Malchei Chashmonaim, who were going to neged the idea of Malchus Beis David. But also some give another reason. Some say this is really a political reason, that Hanukkah was a very dangerous holiday to emphasize, because what's the pshat? You know, Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mishnah was under Roman occupation. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 70. 60 years later was the merit of Bar Kokhba. Rav Yehuda HaNasi is living after the second major rebellion that the Romans mercilessly crushed, first the Chorban, and then the destruction of Beitar, which even had more people dying than in the Chorban. So what's the pshat? We light Hanukkah candles, and we say, oh, we're celebrating the overthrow of foreign domination of Eretz Yisrael. It's not a politically correct holiday in that way. In fact, that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, originally the mitzvah was to light near Hanukkah mibachutz, outside, but when it became a sakana, we light it inside. And then we have machlokes, now that there's no sakana, do you go back outside? But you see from the Gemara clearly, there was a sakana in lighting Neros Chanukah mibachutz. What's the sakana? The sakana is pashut. The Romans would see it as an act of insurrection, an act of rebellion. But more basically, yet a third reason why the Mishnah de-emphasizes Chanukah is because in many ways, the Nes of the Pach HaShemen was a Gevaldige Nes, certainly, but if you look at the Nes as the Al HaNisim describes it, the Nes of Nitzachon, the Nes of the military victory, the Nes of Masarta Gibayrim Biyat Chaloshim, the Nes that the Rishoyim were destroyed and we were able to establish a Malchus of Torah, in reality that became a tremendous failure. Those of you might remember from high school, George Orwell's book Animal Farm, which was his parody of the Russian Revolution, and the story of Animal Farm is the animals overthrow the human beings that mistreat them, but the leaders of the animal become the very dictators they try to overthrow. This was Malchus Chashmonaim. You have to know your history a little bit. The Chashmonaim tried to overthrow the Yevanim not because of a political issue, but primarily because they wanted to destroy Hellenism. They wanted to get back to a society of Torah. And the Chashmonaim, the Maccabim, as the Ramban writes, were tzaddikei elyon, were the greatest, greatest tzaddikim. But what happened was, their descendants, this is a paradox, their descendants became the very misyavnim that they tried to destroy. We read about Yanai HaMelech. Right, those in Yanai. These are the Malchei Chashmonaim. They became persecutors of the Chachamim. So, by the time the Mishnah is written, what are we supposed to celebrate? Malchus Chashmonaim? So, first of all, politically, Malchus Chashmonaim was Batel anyway. The Romans already had conquered it. Spiritually, Malchus Chashmonai was actually a failure. In fact, if you look at Chazal, there's relatively very little mention about all the Chashmonai, Malchus Chashmonai. Yanai and Malach, and all of it is always mentioned Lignai. Kamat, there's no Shvach for the Malchus Chashmonai. And that is why, although the Al HaNisim emphasizes the Nes of the Nitzachon of the Milchama, the Al HaNisim was very early, but Chazal and Masech HaShabbos moved the emphasis to the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, because Igloi Milsa L'mafreya, that the Nes of the Nitzachon, could have been a tremendous Yeshua, but L'maisa it was not. And that's why there is a shifting in the emphasis between the Al HaNisim, which represents the earlier stage of the Hisgabras over the Kayach of Yavan, versus the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. Both things are there. Both things are there, of course. The question is, which is the Iker Nes that we talk about? And I think it's very clear you do see within Chazal a shift in the passage of time, whether the Iker was the Nitzachon or the Iker was the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. Be it as it may, when the Gemara goes on and discusses the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and that's why we light Neiris, the Gemara gives you three options. There's basic, Mahadrin, and Mahadrin min Mahadrin. Again, coming from Yerushalayim, I can't help but thinking about how all the different restaurants are labeled. You know, we have kosher, Rabbanut kosher, and Mahadrin, 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 etc. Basic, and I've never met a Yid. It's interesting, you know. Every single Yid, even there, every Reform Jew, is a Mahadrin min a Mahadrin here. I never heard of somebody. The basic mitzvah of Hanukkah is one Ner for the whole family, all 8 days. So day one, if I have 10 people in the house, one candle. Day eight, one candle. That's it. I'm Yitzah. Then there's a level called Mahadrin, in which you light a Ner for every member of your family. Not the number of days. So if I have 10 people in my household, including myself, day one, I light 10 Neiris. Day eight, I light 10 Neiris. Then we have the highest level. That's called Mahadrin. Min HaMahadrin. So this is already the famous machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says you start with eight and you go down. Beis Hillel says you start with one and you go up. And of course, for Shteitzach, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Machlokas the Rambam in Taisvis. If you want to do the highest level, do you also incorporate the middle level? Meaning, the Shitas HaTaisvis is, and that's how the Mechaber paskins. The Shitas HaTaisvis is that if you want to follow Beis Hillel and light according to the number of days, you only light one menorah. You don't light everybody in the house, because Taisvis argues if you light 50 candles, it's not clear what is the minyan hayamim. And therefore, if you're doing Mahadrin min Mahadrin, you got to bypass Mahadrin and have only one menorah that's lit, kaminyan hayamim. The Rambam says not that way. The Rambam says that Mahadrin min Mahadrin includes the level of Mahadrin. So there should be a menorah l'chol echad v'echad. Some say even husband and wife. Others say husband and wife not. Now, what's interesting, I don't want to get into the technicalities of the halacha here. It's very, very unusual that the Mechaber paskins like Taisus, that only one menorah is lit, the Baal Bayis lights. The Ramah paskins like the Rambam, not exactly, but at least it seems to be more or less like the Rambam, that you light a menorah for every one of the Bnei Abayas. This is highly unusual, because 9 times out of 10, it's the Ramah that follows the Shitas of Taisus, who are Chachamim of Ashkenaz, of France and Germany, and usually Rav Yosef Kairo, the Mechaber, paskins like the Rambam, because the Rambam and the Rif, right, Rav Yosef Kairo was Machriya Halacha, based on a majority of Rambam, Rif, and Rush. But the problem is, Rambam and Rif always have the same shita, so the Rush is always the odd person out, and the Rush is the shita of the Balei HaTosva. So Hanukkah is a very unusual tzior, where in fact the Mechaber is Machria like Shita Sataisis, and the Ramah is Machria like the shita of the Rambam. Not exactly, again, not exactly, you could be Mayan in this, but very close to the shita of Rambam. Now the question you might ask is, you know, why is there such a chashivas of Mahadrin min Mahadrin by Hanukkah? Multiple levels of Peter mitzvah. And not only that, but everybody does it. You know, often people's attitude, even a front person, is, well, I'm Yaitzeh the mitzvah. I don't have to, you know, go beyond so much. All right, Esrog creates Hadar. The Torah says Hadar there. But why is there such an inyan of Hedra by Hanukkah? And you can't say it's part of the general mitzvah of Zekeli v'Anveyu. Hidra Mitzvah. Because it's very clear that it goes way beyond that, because the Gemara in Bava Kama says that for Hidra Mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to add more than a third onto the cost. So, for example, if I could get a kosher esrog for $40, again, I guess I'm aging myself here, but if I can get a kosher esrog for $40, I'm not mechuyev to spend more than $60 on a mehudar. So if a mehudar is $100, I'm not mechuyev to spend that, because I only have to be meisef a shlish milabar, shlish on the new sum, for hidra. Now, by Hanukkah, if I could be, I'd say, with one candle every night, and instead I'm lighting a total of, 32 candles, or 36 candles, as it were, then I'm going way, candles aren't expensive, to be sure, but I'm going way beyond the share of shlish for hidra mitzvah. Right, 3,600%, and the like. So it got to be, there's a special concept of Hidra by Hanukkah that is not makusher to Zekei Levi Anveyu b'chola terekula. It's not based on that chola terekula principle. So I want to give you two terutzim, and then just give you the implications for our own Avodas Hashem. The Chiddush Yerim asks a kasha, really the Rishonim asks a kasha, and that is, why do we need a miracle of Hanukkah at all? But they have enough oil that's tor for one day, so they light that oil, and if that oil doesn't last, the next day the halacha is you light with shemen tamei. They have plenty of tamei oil, right? Now, even though normally you don't bring a korban betumah in the Beis Hamikdash, but if it's a korban tzibur, if it's a communal offering, the halacha is tumah hutra betzibur. So if it's tumah hutra betzibur, they don't need a miracle at all, right? So why did Hashem do the miracle? So zok dechidush yarim. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Am Yisrael that he wanted to enable them to do the mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. It wasn't necessary. It was superfluous. But in many ways, we show our love to our children, not by giving them, let's say you come home every day and you give your child bread and water. And you tell, be grateful to me, because of me you're not starving, I'm giving you life. But the way you show love to somebody is not by giving him bread and water. That's kind of have to do. Otherwise, the police are going to arrest you. But you show your love to a child by giving him more than he needs. A matana. That's a sign of chavivas. So the Chiddush Yerim says, the Eibishter wanted to show his love for the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmeinayim by giving them the kayach not only to do a mitzvah, but to do a mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible. And even if Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, but there's certainly a Hidur mitzvah in doing it B'tahara. So the Chiddush Yerim says, so now we understand, if the whole miracle came, so we should do the mitzvah B'Hidur, so we express our Hakaras HaTayv to Hashem by doing the mitzvah B'Hidur. It's a Midah K'neged Midah. The whole Nes came to enable Hidur mitzvah, so we do the mitzvah behida. This is what the Chiddush Yerim says. I'll come back to that shortly. There's another teretz. One of the Mefarshim says, Kehelis Yitzchak was one of the Magidim, Litvish Magidim. And he says the following chap. It's a little complicated, but it's not too difficult. He says the following. The oil that they found was sealed with the Chaysamai Shel Kohen Gadol, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Now, the question is, why would the seal of the Kohen Gadol be on a jar of oil? Now, if you learned Yerushalmi Shkolim recently, or the Mishnayos and Daf Yomi, so there was a Lishkas Beis Hashmonim, there was a Lishka, there was an office of the oil for Menachas, for Menorah, and the Kohen Gadol wasn't in charge of that. There was another person who was in charge of that. Why would there be a jar of oil that would be sealed by the Kohen Gadol? The answer is, he says, that this was not the oil that was intended for the menorah. This was the Kohen Gadol's private oil stock. What's the pshat? Every day, a Kohen Gadol had to bring his own meal offering from his own personal property. Half of it was in the morning, half of it was Bein Harbayim, and this is called Chavite Kohen Gadol, and this was the oil of Chavite Kohen Gadol. But then you have a problem. Because the quality of oil that is kosher for chavitin is not the quality of oil that you need for a menorah. Chavitin is a mincha. For a mincha, you can use grade B oil. For a menorah, you can only use the first few drops that come out when the olive is squeezed very gently and there's no sediment. For menachas, you can then grind the olives, and even if there are pieces, so l'chaira, if the oil that they found was Chavite Kohen Gadol oil, which is why it had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. How could they use it for the menorah? It got to be that the anonymous Kohen Gadol, who set aside oil for Chavitin, wanted to do his mitzvah, the Hebrew mitzvah, and therefore he put aside grade A oil, even though he could have been Yotzei with grade B. And had he not been Mahadir in his mitzvah, we would not have been able to light at all, even b'di'evet, because for Menorah, a grade A oil is not a heater, it's a requirement. And therefore, the whole mitzvah came only because the Kohen Gadol was Mahadir b'mitzvah. So Mamela, we commemorate the mitzvah b'hidr. This is Teretz number two. Now, what's interesting about these two Terutzim is, in a sense, they move in opposite directions, because the first Teretz is Makir the Chaste Hashem in giving us the opportunity to do a mitzvah in a beautiful way. The second Teretz is Mishabeach the Mesiris Nefesh of Am Yisrael, that even in an Eis Tzara, a time of persecution, a time of milchama, a Kohen Gadol has the presence of mind not only to set aside something for a mitzvah, but to set it aside in an eifen that it will be done in the most beautiful way. Now that means when you're looking at the Neiros of Chanukah, there are two different images that you see in your mind and in your heart. One image is, it is the benevolent light of the Shekhinah. It's the Or Hashem. It is the light that is Docha the Choshech. In other words, Hashem showers the world with his light. To me, Makayim the Bria. And that gives me Hakara Satayv. I'm looking at the Or HaShekhinah. In the Sefer Chassidus and Kabbalah, it's brought down that the sun was not created until the fourth day. So the first 3 days, there was light for 12 hours, 36 hours. But that light was the Or HaShekhinah that was Nignas, the Or HaGonos. Now, on Chanukah, you actually light 36, not counting the Shamash. If you follow Beis Hillel, like we all do, you light 36 candles. So state in Kabbalah that the Or of the 36 candles brings into the world the 36 hours of the Or HaGonos. That is why among Hasidim in particular, there's a big inyan not only not to do malacha for a half an hour, that's brought down in halacha, but to gaze, to sit. Now, be careful, you're not allowed to read by the neiros, etc. You have to be zoyer in that. But there's a big inyan of being mistakel in the neiros, to bring into our neshama the Or HaGonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one aspect, and that corresponds to the Chiddush Yarim, that the Hidra of Chanukah comes from the Chaste Hashem in giving us a nace that we didn't even need, just to show his chashivas in our avodah, how much he loves and relishes our avodah. But the other aspect of the neiros is the ner Hashem nishmas adam, the neshama of a person is a radiant ner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Chiddush Yarim says elsewhere, or the Sfas Emes brings the name of the Chiddush Yarim, that the word nefesh is actually a rashi teva, nefesh, ner, pesila, shemen. Now, ner, in Chazal's language, is a receptacle, like those earthenware receptacles. So, ner, a receptacle, psila, a wick, shemen. What am I? What are we? We are a candle to be lit by the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we shine bright. So, when you look at the neiros, on one hand, you're looking at the Or HaShekhinah, but you're also looking at the greatness that is within you, the godless within Am Yisrael, and that in turn gives us a chizuk to be Docha the Choshech. And here I just want to end with one very, very simple idea about Chanukah, but I think it's a very powerful idea. And that is, the idea of the Or being Docha the Choshech. Choshech exists in many, many ways. Choshech exists in, persecution, people want to destroy us. It exists in ignorance, it exists in assimilation, in intermarriage. Choshech exists in individual lives in many ways. There is sickness, there is depression, loneliness. And you look around in the world, and sometimes a person is so overwhelmed with the darkness that they feel there is no way they could possibly do anything about it, either collectively or in their own individual lives. And they say, what's the use? I light a little candle, it'll blow out. Now think about what Chanukah teaches us. Chanukah teaches us there was only enough oil for one day. Now, they could have made a cheshbon. What's the tachlis of lighting it on Monday? It's going to go out on Tuesday anyway. So let's just not do it. Like, what's the purpose? But what does Chanukah teach you? Chanukah teaches you that when you're confronted with Chayshach, you got to do whatever you can. And if you do whatever you can, even if it seems ineffectual, even if it seems worthless, the Eivishter takes over. But only when you do what you can. So Chanukah is a tremendous message of hope in life. That when our struggles seem to be so overwhelming, that what is the use? It's like emptying the ocean with a thimble. What's the tachlis? Chanukah says, don't give up. Do what you can. And that's why it's very notable, by the way, it's very beautiful, that the nes of the Pach HaShemen was actually not the end of the milchama with the Yevanim. The milchama with the Yevanim, I mean, we got the Beis HaMikdash, that of course was a tremendous thing, but the milchama against the Yevanim was another 20 years. And in many ways, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to the Maccabim not to give up, because they might as well figure, what's the use? This is the greatest power in the world, and most of the Jews don't even support us anyway. They think we're fanatics. We're ultra-Orthodox, Haredim, whatever it would be. So what is the Eibishter saying? Do what you can, even if it seems illogical, and I will bless you. They tell a story. I don't know who made this up, because obviously it's a modern mashal, about a king who constructed a tower that was 1,000 stories. And he said, whoever can climb to the top of the tower by the end of the day gets to marry my daughter. Now, they never asked the daughter about her view on this, but this is what they said. So most people said, you know, what's the use? I mean, 1,000 stories, it's not shaykh, I'm not even going to try. There was a fellow who started doing it, 10 stories, 15 stories, you know, out of breath, 20 stories. But they're laughing at him, like, you know, 20 stories, what's the big deal? You have 980 to go. What's the purpose of this? But he keeps on going. And by the 50th story, you know, he's literally collapsing. He can't breathe anymore. He just drops. And the landing at the 50th story turns into an express elevator that takes a person all the way to the top. And that's really a metaphor. It's a mushel for life generally. We sometimes think, like, you know whatever it is, a person looks at Shas and says, not shayach. Whatever it is, any type of avodas Hashem. And yes, mitzidenu, these goals might be totally unachievable. But if we do what we can, but only if we do what we can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then takes over. And that's really the very big message of Chanukah, that the Or will be Deicha the Chayshach, even when we think it's hopeless, as long as we do whatever we can. So, wish you all a Frelich Chanukah, and it's good to see you. And culture. Yeah.
Very nice to see you. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Okay. Thank you so much.